Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Low Sodium Show. It is Wednesday, May 22nd. It's a good month, and it's going to be a great show tonight. We've got some good stuff coming along, and yeah, this is going to be one hell of a show. We've got Paul Van Reenen is going to be in the house tonight. if he gets back on. And we're going to talk about, tonight's show is going to be about the sponsor spotlight. We're going to have some great stuff going along here with, you know, talking about the company and, you know, different things along the way. So before we get started, let's say hello to our guest. Now, if you don't know, Paul lives down and is based out of Sebastian Inlet, Florida area. Originally from South Africa, humongous fly man with many, many world records in his name, and created the best hard plastic bait in existence right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Van Reenen. What's going on, man?
Very good, and you, Mark? I should run for president, man. It sounds good.
Thank you.
I better not let all the people in South Africa hear all that, man. How are you doing there, Mark? And
doing good.
A big hello to all the listeners. Privileged to be with you guys tonight, man. And we're amped and excited.
Definitely. So, with that being said, we're going to break down tonight's show. We're going to go over the first couple of segments on the baits, how you can work some of the baits that you go in. There's no way it works in freshwater, how to work them in freshwater, how to, you know, a little background on Paul, because I know people have been asking me about that, and where you can find these baits, plus my personal favorite, pick of the week at the end, and possibly giving away a handful of the awesomest baits in the world. How's that sound?
Hell yes.
All right. So with that, we'll take a quick little break, just like we always do, and we'll be right back with more Low Sodium Show with special guest Paul Van Reenen.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
All right, folks, we're back to the Low Sodium Show with special guest Paul Van Reenen. And let's get started with it. Let's get this little ball rolling. So, Paul, I know you're originally from South Africa, now living in the United States. So, let's, you know, what's your background? What's, you know, where you start fishing and, you know, a little bit about you?
Man, you know, Mark, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah,
okay. Okay, great. Sorry. They've been doing quite a bit of lightning and stuff here down in Florida, man, and sometimes you're talking on the phone and then it's dead, you know, so.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, you know, just in short, man, I've always had the mentality that there's a better mousetrap, you know, and to cop that phrase. But, you know, I started fly fishing about maybe 20, 24 years ago. When I'd gone through the whole gamut of, you know, big game fishing, rock and surf, you know, light tackle boat and all that. But I saw a guy fly fishing in South Africa in an estuary, and it just tickled me so much. And I just, man, it just hooked me big time.
Right.
And, you know, after some years, I developed my fly casting and tying skills and that sort of thing to the point where I used to teach distance casting, but more specifically, I used to teach accurate fly tying. And for the guys in the Northeast, they were very familiar with a lot of my fly tying products, such as Polar Fiber. It was from the Success Flies. Polar Fiber and Kinky Fiber and Fluoro Fiber, etc. the Paul's Polar Fiber Minnow is one of my trademark flies. But, you know, I always wanted to catch more fish. I'm a very competitive fisherman. And
right.
One of the things that I realized early was if you want to fish more successfully, you got to fish more accurately. So, you know, we did very well in the fly fishing business, but 9/11 happened. I went back to South Africa. You know, just the business died overnight. You know, pretty much a lot of things in America died overnight. And I put my 5 children through Christian school, and, you know, they all graduated. When the last one graduated, my wife and I said we were going to come back to America and I was going to pursue my dreams again in the fishing industry, but this time more specifically in the spin fishing industry where all the growth is. And also,
right.
You know, it's much less expensive taking a youngster fishing with a little spinning rod or a little girl with a little Barbie, pink Barbie rod, you know, than buying a fly fishing outfit, you know. I mean, I'd have young guys come up to me holding a GLX, a Mega Taper, and, you know, and I just love the fly rod, and, you know, how much does that rod cost? And I've got to sort of, in a muffled way, explain that it's an $800 rod, you know, and that's the end of it, man. They're never going to fly fish, so.
Right.
So, you know, I just wanted to come into the spin industry. And when I looked at the spin fishing baits, when I looked at all the crankbaits and all the different baits in the spin industry, I just shook my head, man. And, you know, the worst thing was that I ended up buying probably 160 to 200 different baits while I was waiting for my prototypes. So I was fishing everything from Rapallos to Yozuris to no-name brands to Sebils to live targets, the whole 9 yards.
Right.
And most people listening to the show will know exactly what I'm talking about. But, you know, I would go through the morning on my boat, and by mid-morning, my console would look like a pawn shop, man. I'd have at least 20 lures there that I'd cast for so long, I didn't work, cut them off, put another one on. You know, go to the next lure, cut it off, put another one on. And the basic, you know, I concluded an interesting thing with fish, and I researched it, and I've proved it to be absolutely correct and true. You must interrupt me if I'm talking too much, Mark. See?
No.
I just get very excited about all this information, and I love sharing information with people, man. You know, so many people are so closed book with their knowledge, but I just share it openly. You know, if you look at any fish, you look at a picture, I'm going to take a snook, for example, sakes, because it's such a well-defined lateral line with its eye. People look
right.
at a picture of the snook and they see an eye and a lateral line, but guess what? That snook has got 2 eyes and 2 lateral lines. Now, everybody's going to say, duh, but the thing is how many of us think that way when we look at that fish? So actually what happens is that snook, when he's hunting, he hunts by sight when there is light and he can see. He hunts by sight in stereo. He hunts with both eyes. But he also
right.
echolocates with both lateral lines. So he hunts stereoscopically with his eyes and stereophonically with his lateral line. So it is just hyper accurate. And also every single bait in the water. Now, this is where unfair lures really shine. That makes them different from anything else on the market. I designed the unfair lures in such a way that with testing and digital testing and stuff, the unfair lures have exactly the same sonic signature. In other words, the sonic wave that they push underwater that the live bait does. For example, takes the Paul's Dinkum mullet. The word Dinkum is just Southern Hemisphere slang for the real deal. So it's actually Paul's real deal mullet. But the
right.
mullet pushes exactly the same sonic wave underwater that a little finger mullet would of the same similar size. And it looks the same. So when a snook sees my unfair lures mullet, he's recognizing it as a food source, and he's hearing it identical to the food source. So it looks right, it sounds right, boom. You see, and
right.
so, you know, people from all over are just, you know, they text me and they write on Facebook and they just say they can't believe the amount of fish they're catching. You know, and here and there, there are people that struggle a little bit. You know, it's just an application thing. But accuracy is everything with unfair lures, man, you know, so...
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
just basically just a little bit of my background. You know, my design was to bring something accurate and affordable And here's a very key issue, man. We signed a deal with Rasco, actually Roscoe Swivels or Sampo up in New York a couple of weeks ago. We now have 8 components proudly made in the USA, assembled in China, and sold in the USA. In other words, our lures are with 8 USA components in them, they're still under $10, man. We're not greedy, and we want everybody to own an unfair lure.
Right. And that's the thing, that, you know, you've designed these for spinning gear, and I can say this personally. I'm a bait caster by heart. But,
Yes. Folks,
you want to use these setups with a spinning rod. A spinning rod, a spinning reel, okay? It'll greatly improve your fishing abilities, is the best way to put it. So definitely, you know, and the price points there, you know, for everyone to enjoy, not just, you know, the elite of us who can afford, you know, some of the like the Sib deals and the Life Targets and stuff like that, where you can go out, spend, you know, $40 and walk away with 8 baits, possibly, you know, 5 to 8
yeah,
baits.
Yeah, up to, you know, 6, definitely.
You know, you can cover the gambit, really, of what you need and catch a lot of fish. I've been having a blast using the mullet, the greenie, recently on the charter boat. Pulling that behind the boat in an inline sinker, same way you do as a Clark spoon. Patrolling that behind the boat, and it just has this little slight wobble to it, and it is out fishing our Clark spoons, you know, 4 fish to 1. You know, when you're thinking
about,
but
you know, Mark, there's a reason for that, brother. You know, your Clark spoons will create the buzz. In other words, the fish will see the Clark spoon; they will strike at it definitely. But when a fish is swimming between a number of baits, and the one is giving off a sonic signature like a menhaden or like a greenie, which is what our greenie is. It's an exact sonic signature of a greenie.
Mm-hmm.
And menhaden is pretty close, you know, and those herring up in the northeast, you know, the shad and stuff, they're pretty close. So, you know, when you give off a signature that is recognizable and it looks right, and that pupil of that bait's looking back, man, and it's just, you know, that gill is pulsing in the water too. It's a pretty awesome thing, that 3D bleeding gill on the unfair lures.
Oh yeah, and
the first. You know, we've innovated a lot of first on lures. You know, we're the first people to ever mold a swivel directly onto a lure.
Yeah.
We have the first 3-dimensional bleeding gill on a lure. We have the first 3-dimensional mobile eyes on a shrimp or a crustacean instead of a little black dot on the plastic.
Right.
And we did some innovative things, like all the hook hangers on the unfair lures are transverse. In other words, you simply take the treble off, you put a single hook on, and it rides like a scorpion tail at the back, and you can get the bottom one to ride like a plowshare, you know?
Yep. Oh, yeah, and that's what we've done to the greenies and the arrowheads, is we switched out the trebles. You know, troubles on a bait with a flipping bluefish or whatever, kind of gets a little nasty. So we switch them out to little larger hooks.
Definitely.
2X strong octopus hooks, 2-watt size, and they run excellent, and you know, are easier on the mate myself. So
yeah, you know, Mark, I often, you know, talking about bigger hooks, you know. It's interesting, my greenies, I went bass fishing over the weekend in a gravel pit here in Sebastian. And, you know, I was too lazy to swap the hooks back, so I just tied on one of the greenies that I normally use for my snook with a number 2 treble on it. But these are the Eagle Claw L949 Kale styles. They're huge, man. They're like a big-ass treble. Look, you've seen them on our big baits, like on the Kabooms. And
right.
So I put that big treble on the greenie. And I tell you, Mark, the bass were all over that greenie like a rash, man. I tell you, it was amazing. Eventually, what
That's
I was
awesome.
Using, yeah, it was freaking cool, man. I would use the top water, and one of the top water baits, I tacked the hooks off because it was just so cool. You know, the faster you crank at those bass, eventually jumping 2 feet out of the water, trying to launch that bait and smack it to their tails, it was absolutely awesome. I'll take you when you're next in the area.
Definitely. So we're going to take a quick break, a little time for a Drinky Poo. But we'll be right back with more with Paul Van Rienen and Andre Lewis.
Bull Bay Custom Rods are handcrafted designs built by fishermen for fishermen. Each blank goes through a rigorous stress test to ensure the highest quality, period. You can actually feel the action of the bite as well as lure vibration through the foregrip. Made with the highest quality components and made to your specifications, Bull Bay Custom Rods bring innovation to your hands. Go to bbrods.com to check out some amazing custom rods. Bull Bay Custom Rods, built by fishermen for fishermen.
All right, folks, we're back with more on the Low Sodium Show with special guest Paul Van Rienen of Unfair Lures. And so, Paul, let's break down the different baits that you have and how to properly fish them. And I think the first one we should talk about is your Paul's Dinka Mullet. It is absolutely awesome. I actually was down at the charter boat today and, tied it on. And where we sit, if anybody's familiar with Rudy Inlet, we sit between Rudy's and Rockefeller's. And, we've got bait running through there all the time, puppy drum. We have shad in there thick right now for whatever reason. And, it's great to sit on the bow and just see the bait. But we had a big pod of mullet run through. And they were just out of my cast net distance. And I'm sitting there with the mullet. And I was like, yeah, let me see this. And I cast it out there, and I dropped it in front of them, and I started reeling it in. The whole school, as I passed it by, turned it and followed this bait in, thinking that it was a live mullet.
Yep.
It was absolutely the coolest thing. And, the technique of the mullet is really simple. And, Paul, can you explain how to properly fish that mullet?
Yeah, man, the funny thing is, Mark, when I was doing some of the buoyancy testing at the Sebastian Inlet, walking up and down on the North Jetty, I had the FWC guys walk with me, seeing what I'm doing, and everywhere I dragged that mullet, schools of mullet would follow it. It was absolutely too funny, man. You drop another lure into the middle of them, they'd scatter, right? I drop my mullet into them, and they just immediately join up. Boom! And then they just join the school. So it was cool. Fishing the mullet, Mark. Oftentimes some fishermen they start fishing the mullet almost like the old Miradine or like a shad wrap or something. It's like a twitch, twitch, rip, rip, twitch, rip, rip. A mullet doesn't swim that way. My mullet's not designed as a twitch bait. What the little mullet is you cast them as far as you can. The small one is not very far, but it's okay. But mullet, if you look at them swimming, they will track straight in a direction and they'll jink out of the way if they kind of feel threatened but they're not like greenies or menhaden that crisscross the water column and, they're this way, that way. A mullet doesn't swim that way. So when you fish the unfair lures mullet like a greenie, it's confusing to the predator because it's not supposed to swim that way. So that's why I've got quite a nice big double fin in it, and that's to make it track straight, Mark. So what you do is you cast a mullet out. The slow suspend, you can fish in inches of water, like in the Mosquito Lagoon in real shallow areas where there's a lot of grass. You can fish it real high in the water column. In fact, if you fish it with your rod tip about maybe a foot or two off the water, you can actually wake bait that little suspend. Now, the other one has got a barcode that says sinking, which is actually a swear word. We want to change all that to fast suspend. Because you can fish it slightly deeper. It's going to cast further, but it's going to fish just slightly deeper, that foot or two deeper with the same speed of retrieve. And it sometimes just makes the difference of getting it into the zone or not,
Oh, yeah.
So the mullet is kind of a straight retrieve with a twitch of the rod tip and a straight retrieve and suspend him a bit and pull him a bit. That I find is the best. And the topwater mullet as well is... not designed. The first thing my business partner said to me, he says, this thing doesn't go like a Zara Spook. It doesn't walk the dog like a Zara Spook. So I said to him, well, it isn't a Zara Spook. It's a mullet. It swims exactly like a mullet does on the surface. And when we took a testing on the Mosquito Lagoon, Captain Joe Roberts and Captain Justin Price and myself and some other guides, the most amazing thing about the topwater mullet, Mark, is that we were catching fish in high noon on topwater, brother. High noon. Wow. Drag it across a flat where there was some tailing fish, and it was just like a big old bucket, man. Boom, and it was done. You know, it swims exactly like a mullet. It tracks nice and straight. If you whack it with a rod tip, it'll jink slightly to one side. It'll actually do a little flutter, like a little twist, you know.
Right.
And, so that's basically how you want to fish the mullets. Just pretty much straight retrieve, mullet imitating swim action.
Wow, that's awesome.
Because the sonic signature is accurate, the profile is accurate, and the rest is up to the fish to eat, you know.
Definitely. And I know that the mullet comes in several different colors, and the one that, you know, bass fishermen in general should really get a hold of is the pearl gold or the olive ghost.
Those are great colors, Mark. You know,
those three colors are going to be your golden shiner, your smaller shad, especially if you have, you know, minnows and stuff like that, you know, the 70s.
Mark, I want to make a prediction. You know, if one took away the word mullet, but you just used that the fast suspend version, I think that little mullet will outfish almost anything on smallmouth bass.
Oh, without a doubt.
The smallmouth will murder that thing, and a rip and flash too. Of those two, I think we're still going to become the two top producing lures on smallmouths.
And those lakes and ponds you have down there with the big shiners, you know, those shiners, and I'm going to squelch this to anyone's thought. Watch a shiner in the water. He just kind of slowly glides around, kind of turns, glides, same way a mullet will do. And if you've got a lake with a lot of shiners in it, especially down south, there's a few lakes up here in the north that have a good shiner population. And it's being shown in Kentucky, Missouri. I've seen guys in Massachusetts. Both fishing the bait and, you know, a mullet or the dinkum and just tearing them up. And I really think it's going to be a changer for a lot of the areas. But now, let's take a step in the next direction. And you mentioned the rip and slash. You know, what is the rip and slash, and what how do you fish it?
You know, Mark, I took a cigar minnow, and I used the front end of it. And then I shortened it a little bit, and I made some strategic little changes to the rear end. And I stuck a fin on the top and positioned it correctly, and also on the back, so that when you reel it without any action of the rod tip, it starts to cavitate in the water, and it gets a serpentine movement. It looks like a snake swimming along in the water. Have you ever seen a rip and slash doing that if you just reel it?
Yes.
It actually swims side to side like a real fish does without a lip on the bottom. So
right.
The rip and slash is, to me, one of the most successful search baits I've ever used. You know, I recently caught my 502nd species on a rip and slash.
Wow.
A spinner shark in Port St. Joe Bay up in Panama City. And just the week before, my 501st species was a black drum. And all that was sticking out of that drum's mouth was the swivel. The rest of it was gone. You know?
That's awesome.
But the rip and slash has got a great casting distance. We're bringing out a bigger one in about a month's time for the Northeast, specifically for the guys that want to be surf casting it at the Blues and Stripers and Bonito and Albacore, etc. But the rip and slash, you know, when you if you like the action of, let's say, for example, say Miradine.
Right.
A rip and slash is like a hyper Miradine on steroids for the same price. It's got a swivel on the front, like all the unfair lures, which will take the twist out of your line in all-day fishing. And it imparts a better action onto the lure because you're actually fishing a lever in essence. You know, you're pulling not from directly on the front of the lure, but you're pulling from maybe a quarter of an inch below or the side of the lure every time. So the action is so erratic this way, that way. It's like a little baitfish feeding. It's got the bleeding gill, transverse hooks, got seriously good hooks on it, a dressed rear hook with mylar on it, and then the hydrodynamic swimming fins, rearward looking pupils on all the baits, because, you know, a bait fish that's fleeing is looking where the attack is coming from. He doesn't care where he's going.
Right.
And I always get a kick out of looking at other people's lures when I see, you know, they put these plastic eyes on the lures and the pupil is nice and centered in the middle of the eye. That's a dead fish's eye, man. Look at any fish that's dead, it's got a centered pupil. A live fish is either looking down or, you know, if it's trying to escape from something, it's looking where the attack is coming from. Wouldn't you? If you're running from a line, pal, you're looking over your shoulders. You don't care where you're going. So, but anyways, that's how it is, man. Yeah, the rip and slash is a real easy to fish lure. And I believe the rip and slash is still, I think it's probably going to become the top selling lure in the United States, if not in the world, in the next coming couple of years to come.
Wow.
You know, people, simple people, you know, I mean, you can give it to a novice fisherman. You cast it on,
right.
I mean, tie it on, cast it out there, and you tell the fisherman, just reel the reel, just reel it. And you see the fisherman looking at the lure coming, and it's like wobble side to side. Not a wobble, but a swim. You know,
right.
I was demoing the rip and slash to a new store the other day in their marina, and I was showing them how it swims, and a big old snook came up and gobbled it, man. Boom, and it was all gone. Over in seconds with freaking 8-pound line. So,
wow.
Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got one other bait that you know, mimics fish really well. Actually, two. And we'll kind of drop both of them in the same one. The Arrowhead and the Greenie. And I'm absolutely in love with both of them. They both are great trolling baits for what I do, as well as for casting. They're just too cool to be, you know, too cool for school. Explain the Greenie and the Arrowhead and the dynamic between them.
Well, the Greenie is an exact Atlantic thread fin herring, very close to a menhaden, like a little a peanut or you know. We will have a 70 millimeter soon, which is a smaller one, and we've currently got the 90, which is like 2 3/4 inch and 3 3/4 inch. The Greenie is not the greatest casting bait. Let me just tell you now, you know, I'm as honest as what it comes, man. You know, it flutters. Like, I always say to people, it's like casting a $10 note, because it basically costs $9 and some change. So it's like throwing a $10 note. It doesn't cast like a bullet. But, you know, we've weighted it, and I didn't want to compromise the shape to make it cast like a mile, because as soon as you compromise the shape, you compromise the sonic signature. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So the Greenie, it still casts okay, but under the water, man, you can twitch them. Twitch, twitch, rip and strip. Twitch, 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 rip, strip, you know. Fish them like that, just like you would see a Greenie or a herring feeding in the water column. Or you can simply just reel them and twitch them and reel them and twitch them. But he's got quite a nice lead keel weight, so you control them up to about 10 knots and they shouldn't spin. If it does slightly track skew, you just got to check the wire on the front. And we've got some great news about the wire on the front, too. But I'll get to that in a second. Remind me about the front wire, because we've got a patent application for it. The Arrowhead is very much like a short sort of a menhaden. It's not an accurate bait at all. But yet it's a great fish-catching tool, because you can fish it super shallow and you can create quite a bit of vibration with it. You know, you can just twitch, 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 and it'll jink sideways and that sort of thing. So it's pretty good to grab a fish's attention. But we mustn't forget about the shrimps. The shrimps are great, man. I tell you what, they are a sniper in a ghillie suit, but they require a little bit of a skill set.
Then let's get to that right after this short break. And folks, too, we're going to be right back with more of the Low Sodium Show with special guest Paul Van Rienen. And we'll be right back. All right, folks, you heard me talk about Jackson Kayak and everything that they do. And it is a truly awesome company with a great product. I personally have caught some of my biggest fish within recent months, and being able to slide up on them in quiet comfort, and comfort's the word, with the high-low seating, truly makes things nice. But for more information, go to your local kayak dealer or go to jacksonkayak.com for more information, and check out Jackson Kayak, 100% American-made, in America, by Americans, for Americans. America. Yeah.
Folks, Tommy Head jigs. I can't say enough about them. From redfish to bass to catfish to any presentation you want, anything you can think of, Tommy Head jigs does it for you. Check them out at TommyHeadJigs.com. Like them on Facebook at Tommy Head jigs. Let them know the Low Sodium Show sent you. And check them out. Go to TommyHeadJigs.com for more information and to pick you up some of the best jig heads out in the market. All right, folks, we're back with more of the Low Sodium Show with very special guest Paul Van Reenen. What's going on, man?
Yeah, man, I've also want to tell the listeners, can I tell them about your special news?
Definitely, go right ahead.
Well, you know, we're always on the lookout for good people to be associated with, et cetera, you know, Mark. And, you know, you've always answered my emails and treated us well, man, and that sort of thing. And just for the listeners, a number of weeks ago, I asked Mark, you know, if he would be interested in becoming a sales associate and a rep in the North area, you know, Virginia, North Carolina, that general Jersey area there for Unfair Lures, and it didn't take Mark but about 3 seconds to say, hell yes. So Mark is going to be repping the Unfair Lures up there, and we're really so amped, man, Mark, to have you on board. You know, you're a respected member of the fishing community, and, you know, I listen to the show often, and, you know, you guys do great with the boondoggles, and, you know, I know that Unfair Lures will be good for you, and, you know, you'll do good with us, and, you know, we're very excited. I tell you, there's just, you know, I'm like a rancher looking at a harvest at the moment, you know, just yellow wheat or cornfields as far as my eye can see. You know, that's the kind of vision I have for Unfair Lures. So I'm really, really happy to be associated with you, man, and have you on board. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure. And of course, I'm going to tell everyone about your special news. Paul is now the respected grandfather of a little girl, I believe.
Jamie hasn't arrived yet, but she's like imminent. Yeah,
so
her name is Jamie,
now,
man. I'm 49 and I'm becoming a pop. It's quite something, but I don't know what all the hype's about, you know. But I'm looking for waders already, and I'm looking for a pole, and I've already got a set of lures, and, you know, kind of whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back on topic here, and the shrimp lures. You have the sinking and the floating. Explain their dynamic and how to properly fish them, because I know a lot of people don't know how to fish them, and they kind of get frustrated with proper instruction. So would you break that down?
Yeah. I'll If you go to the Unfair Lures website, we have got a good explanation on the shrimp page, how to fish the shrimps. But, you know, that in itself doesn't always help. I met a guy the other day in a store, and he said, oh, I use Unfair Lures. And I said, great, and how do you do? He says, that one there is the best lure I've ever used. That one there is a piece of SHIT, he said to me.
Right.
And I don't get offended by stuff like that. And he was pointing at the little shrimp, you know. So I said to him, really? I said to him, now tell me, why do you say that? I just started asking him some questions, getting some information, and it just turned out that he was using it like a crankbait, and it is not a crankbait. So the difference between the sinking shrimp and the floating shrimp, I'm going to start with the floating, and I'm also going to say that we will have a big floating and small floating within the next month. And a big sinking like we've got currently, and a small sinking within the next month, and we'll have all 8 colors. So what I did is, you know, I just had enough money when I started Unfair Lures to kind of get like basic, you know, models and some basic colors, et cetera, et cetera. But we're expanding it as fast as we can.
Right.
Without bank loans, all the fishers out there, no bank owns any one round cent of Unfair Lures. Not now,
awesome.
Not ever. So
that's awesome.
I just appreciate what everybody's done and all the support and the sales. You know, we live very frugally, but we're just growing the business for our fishermen. But the small floating shrimp, Mark, he is
okay.
It's not designed to be a surge bait. So what you want to use a small sinking shrimp for is fishing situations like, believe it or not, bass love that little shrimp. They tear it up, man. But anyways, you want to fish shallow water where you can cast it past a laid-up fish. Like, let's say you're on the lagoon or you're fishing somewhere with these reds and trout or whatever, and there's sand patches. Cast it past and crank it real slow. I mean, your bail must barely be turning. And you'll see that little shrimp will come backwards and he'll dig his tail down and he'll get a dig. Once he digs, he'll track nice and straight down. And then what you do is you twitch your rod tip, but you don't stop retrieving. You just retrieve real slow, twitch, real slow, and let them float back up again. And I've had a situation where I've been able to see trout laid up in sand pockets. I mean, you can see them a ways off. And I cast past it. I just bring that shrimp slowly back, more or less adjacent to the sand pocket, and I give it one twitch, and I let it just float up to the surface. And then I crank it and twitch like that, and then usually it gets pile driven. So, you know, it's got a bit of a skill set, the floating shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
The big sinking shrimp and the small sinking shrimp, I am so excited about. You know, I lost 14 of them last Friday at the St. Lucie power plant. You know, I'd be fishing the shrimp. Some of my friends were fishing live baits, etc. And here and there, they were catching a fish. But, man, I'd drop that shrimp down, Mark, and I'd get it into the zone because it swims forward, it dives, you know, and I'd twitch, and I'd just feel tap. I'd set the hook, and I'd be into either a permit or a snook or a jack or whatever. But the 14 lures I lost, man, I was so irritated, man. You know, your snook becomes a Goliath grouper after a few minutes.
Wow.
And that's a short fight, brother, let me tell you. Hooking a Goliath grouper is a short fight on light tackle, you know?
Oh, I bet.
But the sinking shrimp is pretty cool because what it does, it's the only lure in the world. In fact, it's multi-patented. When you cast my shrimp, it'll actually swim forward, Mark. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yes.
So if you throw them close to a dock or close to mangroves or especially for bass, man, this is a cool bait for bass. As if you throw him next to grass mats or big lily pads, he'll actually swim forward underneath those lily pads away from you if you just give him line. So what you do is you cast him, lift your rod tip, flip the bail over, and then you follow your rod tip down as the shrimp takes line. And as soon as you pop the rod tip upwards, that shrimp's tail will dig upwards exactly like a live shrimp if it's deemed to be being attacked. So it scoots backwards and upwards, and it actually comes onto the surface and jumps. Now, if any of the listeners want to go to our Facebook page, it's Unfair Lures on Facebook. Just Unfair Lures. They'll be able to see hundreds of pictures there of trophy fishmen caught on the Unfair Lures shrimp. What the guys in the lagoon are doing, they've discovered, and it was just more and more accidental stuff I'm discovering can be done with a shrimp. I mean, if you think about it, you can sit on it, you can throw it, you can hang it, you can toss it, you can fish with it, you can do a million things with that shrimp if you really want. But the guys cast that shrimp out over the flats, and then they topwater it exactly like a topwater lure. They twitch. They just pop, walk the dog with it. And when they get next to a sand patch, they drop it into the sand patch and pop it straight back out again. I tell you, Joe, those big reds and big trout over there, they can't distinguish between a live shrimp and that shrimp. They just pile drive it.
Yeah.
So
well,
that's what you can do with a sinking shrimp. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the sinking shrimp, what I've actually been doing, using it underneath a popping cork for bass.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this way I can stick it in one spot, and especially around rock piles or really hard structure where I know that there's crawfish. And I'll you know, time it out and I'll lay it down and actually let it sit on the rock. And then when I pop the popping cork, it's a real thin one with an extra long wire on it.
Yeah.
The reason for that is that when I pop it, it gives it a little extra momentum and it kind of scoots up and flies back down like a crawfish will do. And there was a great information on In Fisherman where they were using, of all things, the Evil Gulp shrimp, but they were using it for smallmouth on a popping cork.
Huh.
And
that's where I took it from. And the reason is they don't look at the claws. They look at the profile, and that profile mimics a crawfish too.
Mm-hmm.
And popped it. Now you have sound. Now you have movement and something that looks like a crawfish getting away. And absolutely hammered it. Oh, it was awesome bites.
That's unbelievable,
you know,
man. But you told me you flipping smashed the stripers on that shrimp too at one stage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. When you got fish that are holding tight to structure, especially on any dock lights, anyone who's been fishing Rudy Inlet recently knows of the two green dock lights, one at the mouth of Rich Band's Cove and the other one off of the one little creek there. You know, being able to drop that underneath the dock, because that's where those big hogs sit. They don't sit on the outside. They let the little ones pick out way. They sit in the hole and they look out and they see the big fish coming in. But if you can drop something in their face, you know, being able to just throw it around the edge of the dock and let it slide underneath of it, they just come up and just annihilate it. And that's a huge, everyone else is catching dinks, and you slide that bait underneath the dock, and you watch the line jump, and when you're using braid, you feel that boom, and that's just the feeling of the bait at the back of his throat, and you hammer him. Absolutely awesome, and like I said, bass just go nuts, and I've got a couple of I have a small floating that. Just absolutely, when the crappie are running heavy and they're sitting kind of high, being able just to slide that down, let it come back up over the shallow flats when they're spawning, absolutely awesome. Awesome.
There's a lot that you can do with unfair earth, man. But you know the nice thing for me, Mark, when I go wading on the flats, you know, if each of the listeners thinks carefully here, and this is such a critical thing. I mean, you've got a truck, you've got nice rods, nice reels, nice expensive braid. You know, you've got all the kit around making your trip a pleasure. But oftentimes, guys put junk on the short end, man, and they wonder why they don't have nice fishing trips.
Right.
So this is what Unfair Lures is all about. You know, when I go wade fishing, I've typically got one rod jammed in my fanny pack belt, and I've got one rod in the hand. And I've either got a little unfair mullet on the one rod, or a rip and slash, or a shrimp. But I fish, you know, in a selfish way with four baits. I mean, we've got stick minnows, we've got poppers, and, you know, but I'm just so damn spoilt with these lures of mine that, you know, you just never blank. You're always producing. People are always saying, I mean, I had a guy at the inlet the other day. It was so funny. It was some of the staff of one of my stores that carries the lures. They were fishing live bait off the catwalk, and I was fishing the greenie there under the catwalk, but about 30 yards up. And I was catching one gator trout after the other, and then snook in between, and big ladyfish and bluefish. But, I mean, I was just busy all the time. And I heard that one guy on the jetty there, you know, using strong language. What the bleep is that guy using there? He's bleep catching all the fish. I'm bleep this, I'm bleep that. And I knew who it was. So I'm chuckling to myself, you know. So this guy comes walking down the catwalk, and he comes meandering up the rocks, you know, on the inlet. And as he got close, man, I turned and I put my flashlight on my Unfair Lures logo on my shirt. I said, "You should be fishing these." And he burst out laughing. Then he saw who it was. I said, "You guys don't believe me, man." I said, "You fish Unfair Lures, you catch a lot of fish. You fish live bait. You have a normal day."
Right.
You know?
So
The thing with unfair lures is they are like fishing live bait, except you're covering 100 times more water. You see, this is the important thing. Unfair lures is an accurate bait, and a live bait you would typically let it swim around, or you'd anchor it down with a weight or something. But an unfair lure, you can cover water, and it's like covering water with a live bait.
Right.
So that's
well,
then
let's cover some water here, and you want to do what we talked about earlier?
Heck yes, yeah.
Okay.
We don't do a whole lot of advertising in the magazines. We find it dead money. So what I prefer to do is to meet new fishermen, which we call fishos. A guy with an unfair lure is called an unfair fisho, F-I-S-H-O. He's like a disciple of unfair lure. So what we'd like to do is meet new fishers and give people an opportunity to make use of our advertising program. So what we're going to give the guys an opportunity this evening is for the guys to... we are going to pick 10 guys out of every third, basically, person that responds to the competition or the little contest.
Okay.
So, obviously, you know, to pick 10 winners, 30 people have got to basically fulfill the little obligations, which are quite simple. And I'm not mentioning it so that it's fair to everybody, because some of the guys are smart. They're already busy. Mark. But anyways, we want to give some free product away. And what I'm going to do is we're going to announce 10 winners, Mark, and then I'm going to have the winners choose 3 baits of their choice off my Unfair Lures website. Now, obviously, some of the baits we don't have available yet. So,
right.
You know, I'll just contact the guys and by mail, and we will figure something out. But, you know, each of the 10 guys will get some stickers for their trucks, you know, and for their kayaks, etc., and boats, and obviously some no-charge Unfair Lures.
Right.
And we have a small little request. We have a small request that we ask for the guys that win, and that is to post some pictures on the Facebook page, on their page, or on our page, and tag their friends, etc. But good pictures. You know, there are terrible pictures, and there are good pictures. And a good picture is this. It's a fish pointed at the camera or slightly oblique to the camera with a lure hanging out of its mouth so the guys can see what it's caught on. So that kind of photo is worth $1 million, you know, rather than a guy hanging a bass in front of his face, you know, you know, head up, tail down, you know, and you can't see anything. A picture like that's worth a zip. So, Mark, I'm going to go ahead and...
How are you going to do it?
Yeah, what I'm going to do, Mark, will you announce to the guys exactly how we're going to do the contest. I think you and I did discuss it, so you can tell the guys.
Yep. So, folks, what you're going to do is you're going to go to the Unfair Lures Facebook page, okay? You're going to go in there. You're going to like them. If you already like Unfair Lures, send them a message. Hey, I'm in the contest for the Unfair Lures prize pack, okay? Mention the Low Sodium Show. I heard this on the Low Sodium Show. If you haven't liked them, like them. You need to share as well. Okay, so you like.
So they need to post a little message on the Facebook page. Hi, this is Mark Wheeler. I'm for listening to the Low Sodium Show, and I want to be part of your Unfair Lures contest. I just need to let me know that it comes via the show.
Yep, and you need to share it to all your friends so they can join in and check out
Unfair
Lures.
Unfair Lures, man. UNFAIR, new word, LURES. You know, my you say Unfair Lures, Mark. So African accent is a little bit funny. People often say to me, what?
Definitely.
Unfair Lures. So the guys can just hit the messages on there, and, you know, we'll choose 10 winners during the course of the show.
There you go. All right, folks, you heard about it. And you know what, Paul, let's do this. Let's wait until we announce the folks until Memorial Day. Memorial Day kind of giveaway. Gives people that are on the podcast a chance to win. I know they don't get a chance to turn live. So this way we can really get it out. We can do a little promotions as well. But let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Paul and the Pig of the Week. So just stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more of the Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. All right, folks, I've talked about Bull Bay rods. You've heard, you know,
Steve Chapman of Fish and Florida Radio run his gums about them. But the true testimony is this. We've all seen the show Swamp Brothers on Discovery Channel. Those guys pulling out 8,000-9,000-pound gators, right, with those great, awesome sauce rods. And do you know what rods they are? Well, I'm going to tell you what rods they are. Those are Bull Bay rods. And they're not even the heaviest rods that Bull Bay has. Those are 20 to 40-pound behemoths, okay? Rods that you catch your cobia, your big reds, your tarpon on are catching 8,000-9,000-pound gators without even a struggle. So check out Bull Bay Rods on Facebook, facebook.com/BullBayRods. Check out the pics of the Swamp Brothers pulling in a massive 800-pound gator on the Brute Force 20 to 40-pound rod. And check out Bull Bay Rods. Take you up some of the best fishing rods out on the market for the great price point. Again, go to BullBayRods.com for more information. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's now time for the... Oh, yeah. All right, folks, the pick of the week. I love it. The pick of the week this week goes to my buddy, Russ Pilant. Russ, if you're listening to the podcast, dude, way to go. He hammered a massive 150-pound yellowfin tuna out in the Gulf of Mexico. Absolutely did awesome. Cannot say enough about you, buddy. Yeah, the way you've basically turned your whole perception of life around since I met you 2 years ago. And, yeah, man, absolutely rock on that big yellowfin. 150-plus pounds. Took him almost an hour and a half. And congrats to the mate for making a life-saving gaff shot on a broken line at the side of the boat. So, again, congratulations there, Russ. And you got pig of the week, bud. That pig, that's a great pig right there. Big old small gaunt pig. Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me, what did you got on that pig there? A pair of long-nosed pliers on his... Have you got him by the compass there with a long nose? On his bearings.
There you go. All right, folks, remember, go to Unfair Lures Facebook page, and I think people have posted up on there already. If you don't have Unfair Lures in your local tackle shop, ask about them, okay? Start telling people, hey, check out Unfair Lures. Let me know. Folks in Virginia Beach and the surrounding areas, you're going to start seeing Unfair Lures, hopefully, in your local tackle shops very soon.
Very soon.
Very, very soon, hopefully.
Yes.
And, yeah, I mean, things are going to be great. I cannot thank you enough, Paul, for coming on tonight. This is actually the first of many shows where I bring on a sponsor spotlight, where we get a chance. It's the whole show is about the sponsor. You know, it's my way of saying thank you to everything that y'all do for me and for the Low Sodium Show and for, the whole kayak fishing and fishing industry.
Yeah, that's great. It was great being with you guys on the show, Mark. And it's a privilege to be able to tell the Unfair Lure story and where we want to go and how we want to partner with all our fishermen. And, you know, Unfair Lures will always be an independent stores only. We will never be in a big box store. We're about the restoration of the hope for fishing in America, you know. So,
okay.
Yeah, man.
Definitely, buddy. All right, folks. I'd like to thank Paul for being on tonight. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, great pleasure. Thanks to everybody, man. God bless America, guys. God bless our men in service. I'm not American, but let me tell you, I love this country, man. It brings tears to my eyes when I see the country's colors being raised and when I see a NASCAR race and I see the invocation, man. This is a great country.
Yes,
I just wish everybody would realize that.
Well, Paul, I wish that would be the same way, but...
Yeah, man.
You know, it's life, and, we'll just stomp them. If they don't.
Yeah. Good night to everybody, Mark. Thanks for having me, brother.
Definitely, buddy. Thank you for being on.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
Bye. All right, folks. Again, Sponsor Spotlight. We're going to do one of these every few weeks. Actually, we're going to do one next week as well. And next week's show is going to be Sponsor Spotlight. You know him. You love him. He's a staple of every kayak fishing radio show. Mr. Tommy of Tommy Head Jigs will be on the Sponsor Spotlight. Again, it'll be a great little thing. We're going to go through all of my personal sponsors. As a matter of fact, all the sponsors you hear on the Low Sodium Show are my personal sponsors. So please go support them. Kayak fishing, and it means a lot to myself and to them as well. You know, and Kayak Fishing Radio and everyone else can't do what we do without the huge support of Mark and Adam from.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
There you go. All right. You know, they went down to Big Lagoon State Park this past weekend and checked out the area and everything else. I think it's going to be an awesome boondoggle. Yes, I said it. I said boondoggle, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, the boondoggle is coming up here October 11th to the 14th. It is going to be awesome. But you need to go to yakangler.com/boondoggle, okay? Go in there, register, take care of all that brouhaha, okay? And then you need to drive down in October, down to Big Lagoon State Park, right off of Perdido Key. Okay, it's going to be absolutely awesome, okay? A boondoggle is the best time in the world. It is truly a great experience. You'll learn a lot, make some new friends, and, yeah, it'll be awesome sauce approved. So, of course, for more information, go to yakangler.com, doing that / thing, boondoggle, boondoggle. Diggle-doggle. All right. Oh, my good Lord. I thank everyone for listening tonight. Remember, go to unfairlures.com. Let them know that you liked them, that you shared it, and you heard this on the Low Sodium Show for the chance to win a prize pack of unfair lures of your choice. I think that's awesome. I don't know about you. You guys think it's awesome? I think it's awesome. That's just me. So with that being said, I'd like to thank all my awesome sponsors, Orca Coolers, Jackson Kayaks, YakAngler.com, Unfair Lures, Tommy Head Jigs, Bull Bay Rods, and you out there, the listeners, are my personal sponsors in a way. You help me do this every week for the past 3 years, and that's awesome. I cannot thank you all enough. And, yeah, so tune in next week. We're going to have Tommy from Tommy Head Jigs on. I know he doesn't like doing this sort of thing, but too bad, so sad you're going to be on here, buddy, talking with me. And, yeah, it's going to be a great time. I cannot thank everyone out for showing up. But with that being said, tune in tomorrow night to Chip Show. He's going to have a little talk about the boondoggle and more stuff. And, yeah, it should be a great time. So with that being said, everybody, take your kid fishing. Hydrate yourself for the hot summer. Keep your head on a swivel. Always wear your PFD. And get your fish on, man. Good night, everybody. We're going to go out with a little bit of something special. Let's see here. Let's see. We got something here. How about a little Suck Mine? Good night, everybody.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.